Most people get a podcast. You know why? They can't get a job on a regular radio station.
Dan Long,
the best in the business.
Sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
This is Studio B, coming to you live on tape from the 7th floor of the Tribune Tower in downtown Chicago, overlooking Michigan Avenue. I am Dan Long. This is my dark corner of WGN, where I cover things I think slip through the cracks in the mainstream media, cool pieces of Chicago culture, or I just get in depth on topics free from the confines of terrestrial radio. This week, a little American history lesson. December 5th, 1933. Section 1 of Amendment 21 of the U.S. Constitution reads, the 18th Article of Amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. Yeah, the 18th Amendment, prohibition of alcohol, sent to the history books. Since the anniversary of Repeal Day is coming up, I wanted to pay tribute, A, to our own freedom to buy and sell alcohol that we still enjoy today, and B, this shining example that shows the system at work, the Constitution as a living document. Along with our Constitution, one other uniquely American thing, good old-fashioned Kentucky bourbon. One particular brand of bourbon is particularly intertwined with the story of Prohibition. And you'll hear about it right now. All right, joining us on the line from Louisville, Kentucky, are master distiller Chris Morris and master bourbon specialist Jackie Zykan. They're from Brown-Forman, makers of Old Forester Kentucky Bourbon. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. My pleasure. Now, Old Forester dates back to 1870. It's the oldest continuously distilled bourbon on the market. And they, in conjunction with the Chicago Reader, are hosting Repeal Day Revelry. That's at the Dawson 730 West Grand on Sunday, December 6th. They got hors d'oeuvres, cocktails, and live music from the Winchester Sound. Now, of course, Saturday, December 5th, the 83rd anniversary of the repeal of the 18th Amendment. That's Prohibition. Chris, I'll start with you. How does one become a master distiller? I would guess there's a lot of, like, apprenticeship involved in that.
It sure is, Dan. I'm literally a Brown-Forman baby. Both my mother and father worked here at Brown-Forman. I'm one of three generations in my family to work here. And that meant, as a young person, I was able to come in as an intern. And who was I interning for? The master distiller. So it took, he said I was a slow learner. It took me 28 years to catch on. And once he retired, I became the master distiller. So it's all about who you know.
I guess so. So three generations, were all of your ancestors, I guess, involved in the production side of things?
Some had been, some weren't. For example, my mother was what we would call a marketing person, but in those days it was called advertising.
So obviously having family in the business, you're also very kind of tuned into the history of whiskey production in Louisville especially. How important to your craft is having a historical understanding of what you're doing?
Well, we believe it's very important, especially in this ever-changing world of where there's lots of gimmickry going on. We like to think that Old Forester is literally a taste or the taste of bourbon history. You cannot get any more authentic than the Old Forester brand. So the history of the industry, its origins in Kentucky, and the fact that, as you noted, Old Forester is not only the oldest continuously produced bourbon in the country, it's the oldest continually produced spirit brand, period, in our nation's history.
So as the master distiller, you oversee kind of oversee production kind of across the board?
Yes. I get to work with our cooperage and having our barrels produced, of course, our own distillery. We're one big team, so we're involved in all aspects of what makes Old Forester a great whiskey.
And obviously, on the production side, the guys who are kind of doing the grunt work, the actual physical science, I guess, behind it, you're doing obviously more than just reading a recipe off the card and following it. Is there kind of an intangible element to upholding the tradition?
Well, yes. If you just follow a printed set of instructions, you might not get the same result day after day or the result you're looking for, period, just because we are grinding corn and rye and barley, You have to nose and actually taste the grist and make sure it's fresh and has the right aroma and no off notes. And even though we're using pure water, we even taste the water to make sure it's pure as it's supposed to be. So you just can't take anything for granted. Every day, you are just going through a constant series of checks and double checks to make sure that many years later, Old Forester tastes the way it's supposed to.
Like we touched on a little bit before, Old Forester is it's a legacy product here in the United States. It's the longest-running, continuously manufactured spirit, and it's kind of woven into the fabric of American culture. Not only, and it's also the first bottled bourbon in the country. Is that correct?
That's right.
In the years from 1920 to 33, the Prohibition era, Old Forester continued to sell product. How did they manage to pull that off?
Well, the Prohibition Act allowed for the Concentration Warehouse Act, which meant existing barrels of bourbon would be concentrated in warehouses and bottled by those very few companies that had the medicinal permit. Brown-Forman, obviously, was one of the six issued in Kentucky and the only one still in existence. So we were able to continually to bottle Old Forester as a medicine, as medicinal whiskey, and we also bottled other brands that we acquired during this time period or bottled them for the owners who had no legal recourse. So we were very busy bottling existing whiskey stocks. But when those stocks were running low, the federal government actually allowed for distillation to occur, and we began and actually made Old Forester during Prohibition.
Was there a lot of growth in business during that time? I'd imagine it was kind of a fight to stay afloat, even through the loophole.
It really was. In fact, the president and owner of Brown-Forman at the time, Owsley Brown I, is quoted as saying Prohibition was simply about survival, keeping the company alive. In fact, there were years when the company lost money, had cash flow, obviously, but had a net loss because everything was so restrictive. You could not just go out and bottle whiskey at your whim. Each permit company was allowed a specific number of bottles to be produced per year. It was all tightly controlled.
Let's talk about a little bit about the period before Prohibition. Louisville, especially on Whiskey Row, obviously called that for a reason. It was this kind of hotbed of whiskey production. Is that right?
Yes. Along our main street, which is the nickname Whiskey Row, there were 89 whiskey companies operating right before Prohibition. 89 companies. And of those 89, we're the last one standing.
The last one?
Yes.
Jackie, let's bring in Jackie Zykan, Master Bourbon Specialist. As the Master Bourbon Specialist, what does a Master Bourbon Specialist do?
Well, it's sort of a new role. I kind of act as a liaison between the bar and the brand team. I have a really deep-rooted history in bartending. I was a bartender for 10 years and then a bar manager, beverage director for a multi-concept restaurant group, and actually studied biology and chemistry in college. So the whole process has always been interesting to me, but I sort of bring a trade side of input to our team.
Okay, so you kind of offer suggestions on different cocktails that bars can kind of work into their menus?
Sure, absolutely. Or the best resources that we can offer bars so that they can come up with cocktails of their own using our products.
Okay. Are you a bourbon fan? Do you have kind of a taste? Can you taste things and suggest how to tweak cocktails and stuff like that? Is that part of what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Part of being a buyer for a giant whiskey bar was tasting products, and constructing menus always requires sort of a fine-tuned palate. So,
Dan, you haven't had a bourbon cocktail unless you had Jackie make it.
I'll have to get down to Louisville, and I'm taking that as an invitation.
Yes.
Jackie, so you presumably have to balance maintaining the, you know, rich tradition of Old Forester with always looking for new ways to move forward in terms of uses for it. Is that a challenge? Is it something? How much ground is there left to cover is my question.
Well, I mean, it evolves every single day. Cocktail trends are constantly changing. But the beauty of Old Forester is that it's such a great pedestal of exactly what Kentucky bourbon is supposed to taste like. It's sort of the prize poodle of the dog show, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So to insert Old Forester into any bourbon cocktail, I mean, you can't go wrong. It's so balanced in and of itself that it always lends to a really balanced cocktail. But no matter what the trends are, balance is always the most important part. I mean, if the drink is too sweet, then no one will finish it, and it's too filling, they won't order another one. If it's too sour or too acidic, they're not going to order another one because it didn't taste right, and they leave with a, you know, bad memory of the brand. So balance, no matter how complicated the cocktail is or how simple it is always the most important part.
Did Old Forester invent the old fashioned?
Well, no.
Chris is going to jump in on this one.
Well, we wish it did, but no, because, again, Jackie's the first bartending expert we've had on the team. Many drink histories point to the famous Pendennis Club here in Louisville as the origin, certainly the name Old Fashioned, and some style of a drink. And the Old Fashioned has always been made with Old Forester at the Pendennis Club. In fact, it was literally Owsley Brown the first, who was our president during Prohibition, who built the club during Prohibition. He was the president at the time. And it's really funny, a big, beautiful club being built during Prohibition. And what's the centerpiece? The bar.
All right. I'm a fan of bourbon, but I'm like a dumb bourbon drinker in that I couldn't tell you why I liked what I liked about something, you know? So if you had to explain it to somebody who knows nothing, what plays into the flavor of a bourbon in terms of the actual process or, you know, what kind of barrels it's stored in? How do you create that distinct flavor?
Well, certainly for us, we take great pride in making all the various ingredients play a role. Because basically it's very simple. A bottle of Old Forester is corn, rye, malted barley, water, and an oak barrel. So if you can't coax flavor out of each of those elements, you're not going to have a very complex and balanced bourbon as Jackie referenced with Old Forester. So we have a high rye recipe. So we have more rye than your traditional bourbon. And that's going to give Old Forester a number of spicy notes. Our malted barley is also very high, which means we're going to have these honey, nutty notes. And also, we have enough malted barley in our recipe that makes Old Forester a 100% natural bourbon. And corn adds sweetness. So now we've got sweetness, spiciness, nuttiness, and wow, let's ferment with our limestone water. And now we develop some fruit character and then put it into our new charred oak barrel. And this is one aspect of bourbon making that our company excels at. Brown-Forman is the only whiskey company in the entire world that has its own new barrel cooperage. We make our own barrels. Nobody else does. So we have a unique Old Forester barrel made for Old Forester that has toasted and charred characteristics that are going to give Old Forester that signature bourbon flavor and aroma, caramel and vanilla. So we put all those together in just the right bits and pieces, and we get that balance that people love so much.
What's the average like turnaround time on a barrel of bourbon? I understand, I guess it's not like scotch where necessarily the age correlates directly with the quality, right?
Right. Never judge a bourbon by its age claim or lack of age claim. Because, number one, we use a new charred barrel, which is a tremendous flavor source, aroma, color source. And then we have a lot of heat in our process, heat cycle warehouses, hot summers, that you just won't find in Northern Europe. So our whiskey doesn't take as long to mature as does a fine Scotch or Irish whiskey. So, again, don't judge it by that. But our inventory ranges from barrels we are putting in the warehouse today to barrels that are over 12 years of age. So we have a vast array of ages that we'll batch together in various configurations to make our expressions of Old Forester. We currently have 5 expressions of Old Forester on the market.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Just kind of browsing the website and liquor shelves at the store, I noticed there was, you know, a number of different products available.
Yes, why don't let's let Jackie tell you how these different expressions flow into how consumers should enjoy Old Forester.
Thanks. Well, so we've got our modern expressions, the 86 proof and the 100 proof, the signature. And we also have a whiskey row series. And so far, there's two releases out of that, the 1870 and the 1897. The 1870 is coming in at 90 proof. That's the original proof of Old Forester. So if you're one of the fortunate ones to partake in our single barrel program, that's also 90 proof because that's what George Garvin Brown thought his whiskey tasted best at. So the 1897 is bottled in bond, so of course it's 100 proof, as all bonded products are. But the range here gives everybody a chance to sort of find their own. And I know that you had mentioned the Old Fashioned being tied to Old Forester. It's actually a really easy entry-level cocktail for everybody, and every single expression works well in it, just depending on how intense you want your bourbon flavor to go. So the 86 is very light-bodied, but then it goes all the way up to the signature, which is a blend of older years. It has much more barrel influence. It's much more intense in flavor. So you can throw 2 ounces plus a little sugar and bitters of any of those products together and end up with 4 different Old Fashions. There's also the birthday bourbon, but that should be drank on its own, I think.
Now, what's the birthday bourbon? Describe that.
That is our vintage-dated Old Forester. It's released on the birthday of George Garvin Brown, the founder of Old Forester, which is September 2nd. So it's a unique product. It's different every year, Dan. It will usually be 12-plus years of age. All the barrels produced on a single day. So when they're batched together, they give us a really unique, special flavor profile. And it will be even presented at different proof levels, depending on what the flavor profile is. So it's become a real collectible item. We literally have people lining up outside of package stores waiting for that September 2nd release.
There's a lot of booze snobbery out there, I find. And so it might be intimidating for a beginner to get into drinking bourbon. Is there a right or wrong way to drink Old Forester?
No. The only... Drink Old Forester in any way that feels comfortable to you. There's no right or wrong way to drink anything ever, to be totally honest. There are so many different cocktail ingredients out there and so many talented bartenders, and they're so educated these days that I think that everybody can find a way to enjoy it on their own. There's nothing wrong with mixing it. There's nothing wrong with drinking it straight. There are no hard and fast rules, just whatever fits your style.
Right on. That's the way I like to hear it. Jackie, what's a typical work week like for you? Are you doing a lot of traveling to bars or different, different cities and stuff?
I do travel quite a bit. So a typical work week will include 2 or 3 days of travel. And in those days of travel, there'll be bartender trainings or distributor trainings or happy hour events or, all kinds of brand-sponsored events all across globally, I guess. We're headed to London this week, so that'll be fun. But and then I come back and I sit in a cube and I come up with cocktail recipes.
Very good.
I don't know if it's disturbing or if it's just a tease to everybody on our floor. They hear the shaker all the time and they're like, "Where's all the samples?"
Yeah.
Everyone says you need a taster.
Oh yeah, a lot of trial and error going on around the office.
Yeah, always. Well, I mean, I'm getting pretty good at it by now. You sort of get an idea of the template that you need and how much sugar you need and how much acid you need. So it's kind of just dream up the recipe, try it once, and tweak it a little bit, and then you're good to go.
Going back to this Repeal Day Revelry event, are there regional events like this around the country?
Absolutely.
Because Old Forester is so tied into the kind of lore of the Prohibition era.
Absolutely. There's 30 that we know of so far across the country, and actually we're having a Repeal Day event in London, too.
All the way in London, okay.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's a fun event. You get to celebrate your right to drink bourbon, and that's amazing.
It's a distinctly American event.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, no other country's been as dumb as
right.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's a relatively new thing, too, the observation of Repeal Day, I think, right? At least within the last decade.
I think across the country it might be. I know in Louisville it's been sort of a it happens every year, and people get really into it. Everybody dresses up, and everyone does the Prohibition-era cocktail recipes, and, you know, you listen to jazz, and you dress like a flapper and do the whole thing. But it's definitely spreading, for sure.
And we were the one, as you can well imagine, Dan, we put out a 75th anniversary celebration refill bottle, obviously nearly 10 years ago. And it was Old Forester that got the ball rolling. We got everybody excited about, you know, celebrating. Some brands wanted to celebrate Prohibition. We said, heck no, it's about repeal that you got to celebrate.
Celebrate the end. We are in the middle right now of kind of a renaissance period, not just for bourbon, but there's a demand for high-quality spirits and beers across the board, I think. The mixology culture has to have opened up a whole new world of possibilities that, you know, you never even would have thought of for Old Forester 15 years ago.
Absolutely. I think access to ingredients has just grown exponentially, and everybody is sort of just harnessing their skills and appreciating their craft. And a lot of people are no longer ashamed to say, yeah, I'm still a bartender. A lot of people are really owning that as, like, this is my career choice, and I'm passionate about what I do, and I'm not just paying my way through school. This is what I love. And so with that comes sort of a level of respect where bartending is becoming sort of like a culinary extension. And so using all these fresh ingredients and all the different mixers online and different bitters out there, everything, and everyone becoming more educated about what they're doing, naturally, you're going to want to use the most sustainable products and the most quality products. But at the end of the day, you're also running a business. So it's a balance of all of those things plus quality for your price.
Chris, how has it affected your work? More people are drinking bourbon. More people are into the quality of the product. It's not just for, you know, old men in smoky bars anymore.
Well, you're absolutely right. And it's really been, for me, I just can't, it's like Christmas every day. We were producing Old Forester 86 proof and 100 proof, and it was this resurgence or renaissance of interest in bourbon that has allowed us, as Jackie mentioned, to be creative and bring out the Whiskey Row series and the birthday bourbon. The world hadn't changed, we would have not been able to do that. So it's released our creativity, and there's going to be more great expressions of Old Forester to come. So I think it's just tremendous, and we're just loving it. We just put in two new yeast tubs because of the growth of Old Forester. So we're loving it.
Speaking of the growth of Old Forester, you guys are opening up a brand new distillery experience in downtown Louisville. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, talk about something we never would have dreamt of. We have purchased the very building that was the home of Old Forester from 1881 to 1923 when we moved to a larger shop during Prohibition, and are going to be putting in what I'm convinced will be the most exciting distillery experience in the entire world. It's going to be a real distillery. We will have mashing and fermentation and distillation, barreling, bottling, plus we will have a mini cooperage, and visitors will see barrels being not only built but charred on site. So it will be the most complete whiskey experience in the world.
And when is that going to be done?
It's going to be done in sometime in 2017. You know how construction projects go. We've had a lot of rain. We had a bad winter last year, so it's hard to keep track of what the actual opening date will be.
All right. Very good, guys. Thank you. I will let you both go with one final thought. I'll ask you it's the Marc Maron question. Are you satisfied? Did we cover everything?
Let's touch base on the Dawson event.
Yes, perfect.
That it is sold out upstairs, but there's definitely plenty of opportunity to experience Old Forester cocktails downstairs, and they're all the time. They're such great supporters for us. And if you want to make one at home, we have dozens of new cocktails posted on the Old Forester website, and we definitely update that seasonally, if not monthly. So always keep an eye on those for inspiration on using Old Forester at home.
What's the Old Forester website?
Oldforester.com.
Doesn't get any simpler than that.
Nope.
Master Distiller Chris Morris and Master Bourbon Specialist Jackie Zykan of Old Forester Kentucky Bourbon. Thank you guys both so much.
Thank you.